Those are the stars. Yeah, no, I'm not joking. When you fly over developed cities at night, you will understand why Abraham had to agree with God. No, just imagine. Fly over, like, these Arabian countries, all right? You know, fly over Dubai at night, Qatar, all those places, you know, what they call it, Doha. Fly over all those their islands they are building. And then if they go and fly over Paris at night, add all of that together, and they show you as a picture. Now, this is where I'm going. So will your descendants be. What God was saying to him, this is what your descendants will produce. The man looked into the stars and saw human-made satellites flying up and down, beaming radiation back, signals back to the earth. America last week closed their, that's this week, they closed their shuttle program. After doing it by 130-something flights down into outer space and back, God told Abraham, this is what your descendants will produce. The man said, you want Isaac? If there are two of them, I sacrifice them for you now. Now, I'm bringing out the point. To bring a man to that level where he will believe it and die in peace. Because if we read Hebrews chapter 11, the man believed it, the Bible says, without personally experiencing it. Isaac, I wrote an article about it long ago. I don't know what I said in one of our books, but I thought about it. I said, Isaac was a sign. There are things that God did in my life, and I call them Isaac. Isaac was a sign. He was not the promise. Once Isaac was born, Abraham could die in peace, knowing that everything God ever said, all those visions he saw in the stars, the birth of Isaac was a confirmation that they will come to pass. And God needed his faith to bring that thing to pass. So he withheld Isaac. So that by the time he brought forth Isaac, Abraham knew there was nothing he couldn't do. You can't make a man that's 100 years old and a woman that's 90 years old have a child, and the parents will still doubt. Ah, no, God. Abraham said, forget it, forget it. There's nothing to worry about again. What am I saying? How did God develop that in him? A constant walking with God. Listen. Oh, God. I'm trying to explain something. Life has problems. Generational problems, they are real. I'm coming to something. They are real. Sometimes you think maybe somebody dies, something bad happens, somebody is sick, you know, you see calamities and all of that. Problems did this earth. I'm going somewhere. But more importantly than the problems on this earth, is that God has created a new man in Christ Jesus. Do you follow my point? That's supposed to walk above these problems of this life. And that's why people used to come to Jesus and say, what must we do to gain eternal life? You are getting what I'm saying? Now, to enter into that place, that's what I'm trying to get to. Many of us, not only Nigerians, but I know Africans particularly have a serious dose of these problems. Yes, we do. We do. Many of us have those things. We came out of those things. All this problem we're talking about. You know, take something like, poverty is a very serious problem. You know that. Look, there's famine now in, Somalia, all this horn of Africa people. And you look at all the famine. If Americans were to donate 1/50th of the food they throw away, nobody there will be hungry. Nobody there will be hungry. 1/50th of the food that they throw away, nobody there will be hungry. Listen, African man get problem. I'm sorry, it's not drought. What is big deal about drought? Is that the driest place on the earth? That's not the driest place on the earth. Please, I'm trying to explain something here. But to bring us out of that place where naturally, hey God, you know, when you watch things happening. There was a bomb blast in Norway, and one guy came and killed a lot of people a few years yesterday, all right? And they just be showing you rural areas in Norway. I guess, look, rural, this is rural, rural areas. Well developed. That is, naturally, people are developed. Are you getting my point? Now, please, to come to that spiritual level, where we overcome all these problems, that's what I'm trying to explain, in this earth, it's not by struggling. To have something come out of us, to naturally, you come out of a background of troubles. Listen, this is not a lie. There are people that they say in their family, nobody lives long. There are people they say, look, nobody does well. And I want to explain something to you. Someone that say, come, it's deliverance you need. Hear me, you do not need deliverance. Such problems cannot be delivered by come out, because when you shout come out, nothing is inside. The thing is part of the being of the person. It's not as if you have one demon you want to chase out. It's the whole fiber, it's all his spiritual connections, everything about him is what we are dealing with. What are you going to cast out? If you were to cast the thing out, the person will die on the spot because nothing will remain in him. Look, people think that the problem we're dealing with, they just go and cast demon out of somebody. And no, Ken Hagin said something in one of his books I was telling you about, that he did all those deliverance services, nobody experienced anything. Yeah, they were flying, as he's laying hands on them, they'll be flying. They'll be crawling upwards. They go fall down, tire, bounce like rubber ball, everything. At the end of the day, problems didn't go away. You know what I'm trying to explain? What I'm trying to explain is that what was needed was a change in the whole fiber, the whole being of the person. And what the walk with God does, this is what I'm saying, what I'm trying to explain. What the constant entrance of his word does is to totally transform the person's being so that everybody will die, he will not even fall sick. Not because he woke up and said, sickness, I fight you. Sickness, I come against you. Sickness, I drive you. No. Just because God is pushing, I told you about at the beginning, God was, incubating. You get my point? And then one day it erupted. In the same manner, the man, every time he comes to hear the word of God, and little by little, God is dropping substance into his heart. I used to argue with people a lot. I get really, really hot during the argument. These days, I've come to understand some things. And that is like a lion. No, let me not use lion now. It's like a dog. No, dog is not a good example. I want to use an animal in the bush. Lion is too big. Okay, let's just take lion so we don't waste time. It's like a lion and an elephant. Yeah, okay, that's a good one. Arguing over whether it is right to eat grass or eat meat. How long the argument last? The lion will be looking at you. There's something wrong with you. Maybe chewing this thing. And the guy is preaching to him, my brother, killing other animals is not good. The lion actually wants to call psychiatrists for the elephant. And the elephant will not try to be explained. Okay, with all the animals you have eaten, look at how small you are. Look at me. I ate grass and I'm big. The elephant will not be shouting. You've eaten all these animals. Last year, only you killed 25 antelopes. Look at how small you still are. I've been eating only grass, and look at my size. And listen, the lion can't, with all the proof you have, he can't relate with it. Because in his being, are you getting my point? His very substance of his existence is eating meat. He can't chew grass. And the reason why elephant is talking the talk he's talking is not because he's kind. It's not because he loves the other animals. He can't chew their meat. He can't kill them. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's something that's inside their beings. What am I saying? I have realized that in these days, and therefore, arguing with people a lot of times is pointless. It's pointless. It's pointless because what's happening is that the appetite, using the elephant and the lion now, that I'm using to talk was created by the word of God. And if you have not been, if you don't have that kind of thing created in you, how are we going to relate? Do you follow my point? Now, listen, there are substances in people that repel good and will never let them develop, will never let them succeed. They do not have the ability to conceive greatness. Some of the talk with the talk, you could just be vexed for nothing. The guy can't conceive it. I was talking to a friend today and he was telling me about, he was talking with somebody and the person had made all kinds of decisions that he felt were not right. He said, finally, I got the point. Now, listen to this. He said, when I saw the amount of money, he was hoping that one day God will bless him with so that he can call himself rich. I realized that this man and I can never connect. I don't know what, let me explain what I'm saying. Maybe somebody is saying, I must do that, I must do this. You now see all this fight he's fighting, and you're trying to explain to him that patience, righteousness, and all of that, all the fight he's fighting is so that he can earn the amount of money you are praying to God will allow you to pay your driver one day. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That is, this is where I'm going. The very fiber of his being, it has not reached the level to be able to conceive the kind of greatness that you take for granted. This is the interesting part. The people talking, none of them have experienced it, but one is able to conceive it. I'm bringing an issue. How did the person get to that level? How are you getting to that level in your life? It's simple. Not because one day you made up your mind, today I will suddenly begin to think big. No. It comes from simple entrance of words. You know, there are times I pick books and I read them. Like I read my book the other day, the Ken Higgins book, the Midas Touch. And I saw things in them that I shaded or I underlined. And I did not even know Ken Higgins said. Now, this is my own book. I saw my handwriting all over the book. I'm looking at something here. It shows that I read those things, but I couldn't remember this man saying them. Now, the first impression I had, or like, thank God, Ken Higgins also is saying it. Then I don't know me. Don't know me. I was like, who told you he's also saying it? Are you sure this is not where you learned it from? I don't know what I heard I said. Because there are things I've been preaching. There are things I believe. Then one day I picked that book, I was reading, I said, hey, but he can say this. Can he can say this? Then he told me, oh boy, listen, quiet. Maybe that's where you read it. You learned it. You were fully persuaded. It now became your own. You have forgotten where God passed it through. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why I'm emphasizing that is that if I was not a preacher as an example, all right, and I was not even talking about those things, I will go to places, people will say things, my soul will reject it, I won't even know why. Why? Because the word entered, formed something into me, and naturally, are you getting my point? I respond in a particular way. Please, I'm trying to explain something here. The problems of life, that's how God delivers you from them. They came to Jesus and said, are you the one to come? We should expect another. He said, go and tell John the Baptist what you both see and hear. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. This is what I'm to get to. He said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That expression is very powerful. Jesus never laid hands to deliver people out of poverty. He did not. He did not. He could not. God didn't put that kind of structure into life. Because poverty, and poverty is not just I don't have money. Poverty is a mentality, I don't know how to say it. It's everything. It's how a man reasons, it's how he behaves, it's how he walks, it's everything. Jesus said, I can't cast ignorance out of people. I cannot cast an unregenerated nature out of people. What do? I preach the gospel to them. as they are hearing me constantly, the word is changing the very fiber of their being. Just to end my illustration, God now said, one day, when the world fills the earth as the waters cover the sea, that lion will stop arguing. He'll start eating grass. He will stop arguing. He will start eating grass. What am I saying? The deliverance. Listen. I don't mean to be critical what I want to say. But forget all this gospel of if you give 1 naira today, tomorrow you get 10 naira. Forget it. It won't get you anywhere. The word of God will change you so much. Your children, are you getting my point? Will be so prosperous. One of them will take over evangelizing a whole nation and nobody will know he's there. That is, he will personally fund it. Have you ever seen Rehoboam Bonke shouting for offering at his crusade ground? You've not asked yourself where the money comes from. It makes me like people begging. Anyway, let me not get into that area. Forget all these gospels that are trying to make you remain thinking like a poor person. You give God 10 naira. You are calculating when you get the 1,000 naira that's your due. You have not yet become a giver. That's why you think like that. When the word has transformed you, listen to me. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, will superabound to every good work. Good work is done when people walk into eternal life, all right? Out of abundance. That is, they don't calculate how much money have we been able to sow a seed. Are you getting my point? What fruit are we getting? God so transforms them that when they are dreaming business dreams. Oh, my father. Let me just say this to you. I'm in Enugu. Don't be offended. What I want to say. Most of you are from Eastern Nigeria, right? If they ever tell Igbo man life business, tell them to shut up. I hate that now. My wife knows what I'm talking about. I hate that expression now. It's an insult. Just say I'm not an Igbo man, I'm a Christian. So if you want to insult the natural Igbo man, fine. It's not, listen to me. It's not a good, that statement, people think they are praising hard work, but it's not good. They condemn people to second-class level trading, and they'll be bragging that a whole race of people will love trading, they love business. With all that noise, who's the richest man in Africa? A Hausa man. When Obasanjo was privatizing every parasite in Nigeria and giving out licenses, name how many of my brethren that love the business bought licenses. Name how many. Name it for me now. Remove Pascal Dozier. No, name another person. All I'm trying to say, let nobody insult you that you like business. You were created for dominion. I read books. When men are discussing, I was reading this book, Straight from the God by Jack Welch. They will be discussing taking over companies for $41 billion. The man is bringing in one container, selling cheap products on the beach, at the port, and they are lying to me that he likes business. Let anybody deceive you. We can rubbish like business is that. You're a Christian. You are created for dominion. You are created to dominate, not to make money. Abba, why? Anyway, I'm going somewhere, please. I'm saying many things. When God's word has entered into, I keep on telling people, he said that, these are people who have been doing transportation business for life. It annoys me. Some of them be buying buses when Richard Branson was running around naked. Nobody realized they had to buy airlines. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you buy a bus today, you are not my friend. If you have not started praying to God for an aircraft. Are you getting my point? You are still walking in the wilderness where God rains manna just so you can feed your children. You are not yet creating. You are not yet dominating. Let me get to the main message. I just want to get that one so that you stop. Let nobody stop insulting you.
instead continue to insult you, telling you like business. When you, all you can do is trade. That means when I say trade, you know, tomato and pepper. You know the way market women trade. You are trading in bigger things. But this point I'm making. How does God change a man from just liking business? Now, let me, that's a good explanation. To becoming a creature of dominion. My brother, you can't persuade that elephant to eat grass by talking. It is that the word of God enters into him and is just changing his being so that the time come, the lion, all right, that lion I want to say, the lion will see an antelope pass and what will come to his mind is that, where is he going to look for grass? So I can follow and go and chew too. It's not by, you can't lay hands to break that out of people. No, you can't. It's that God fills his heart with his word. That spirit recreates his being. So that when he's thinking thoughts of dominion now. Not just to round trip a few amount of money and make some extra on top. No, he's thinking thoughts of dominion. I like the way Mary Kay explains something in her book. They said to her that she had rheumatoid arthritis because she has some pains, and they told her she'll become crippled eventually. She thanked the doctor and went about her business. And she said, I was too busy to be crippled by rheumatoid arthritis. That woman was about 90 or so. Her exact age was never stated when she died. Fit, healthy, strong. Not because she was fighting rheumatoid. No. I'm bringing down something here. That something can enter into your being, that which is what the word of God is doing, so that it kills these problems naturally. I hope you are getting my point. It kills these problems naturally. Listen, it makes you prosper naturally. Do you get my point? That, you know, there's something I say all the time. You can't force yourself to remember. You get my point? It's either you can remember or you can't. Either you can remember or you can't. In the same manner, please get my point. That is what success in life, prosperity in life, health. Listen, health in life, that's what these things are based on. It's not by struggles. It is by a thorough transformation of somebody's total being by the entrance of the word of God. And why we talk every day, why we preach every time, is so that people will be transformed. And once they are transformed inside, listen to me. Oh, how do I explain this? I don't know why I just feel like saying like this. If Naira remains the way it is, all right? When your children want to give offering on the regular Sunday, it will be a millionaire. I hope you heard me. That is a regular Sunday. The way you drop 200 Naira now, that's how your children will be dropping 1 million. And they don't think they have given. It's more like putting the offering basket. This is regular giving. This is regular. It's not a breakthrough offering. You understand my point? It's not a special offering that pastor said we have a special job to do. It's more of they went to church on Sunday and they just said, all right, let's just pass the offering basket. And they will just take a check for a millionaire and just drop in the offering basket. And if they come to church four times during that month, they are going to drop that 1 million naira four times during that month. I want you to say amen.
Amen.
And they are not giving sacrificially. But God will have... I just feel like saying your children. Because you see, it takes time. It's a process to build people to a level. Now, what I want to emphasize is that your children will be born into that mindset. It will be nothing to them. That is, they learned it from you. Say amen now.
Amen.
That is, they grew up under that kind of atmosphere. Now, we're not talking about struggle here. One of my friends, we're a minister in this town, once he was invited to the U.S. to go and preach. And he told me that some of these gospel we preach, the homes he went to, these are not these fire brigade people you see on TV. It's normal, cool, regular people. There's some of the homes he went to. These are people that have been rich for generations.
that many of the gospels we preach don't make any, it won't make any meaning to them. Say, give now, God will bless you. His great grandfather. You get what I'm saying? His great grandfather built the house he's living in maybe like 80 years ago. The house is still good. There's a lake in the back, not a pool. A lake. The house sits on maybe some 20 acres of land. And just a normal person. The person is not thinking, you think they are rich. He doesn't think he's rich. He thinks he's a normal person. Are you getting what I mean by transformation? A time will come, you wonder what people do in hospitals. Amen. Your children will say they want to be doctors. You want to, you, the first thing is for what? That what will come to your mind is, for what? Then they have to explain to you that, that the people, some people are still sick. Say, okay. You know they are sick, but you didn't realize that it was such a problem that for all the impact they can make in this life, they have to go and study medicine. In fact, I find out what I ended up talking about is the power of eternal life. That's what I've described is what they call eternal life. Just transform somebody nicely, gradually, so that, you know, I said there are people that in their family, they say nobody lives long, nobody prospers. That same person, whether you are here today or listen to this on CD, a time will also come. They will not remember when last somebody died before the age of 75 in that family. Amen. And as for the issue of poverty, it will be so, such a historical thing. I like the way Muhammad Yunus said it. But I want to use his words, but to apply it to you as a person. That your children will think to see poor people, they need to go to a museum. Please, I pray you get what I'm saying. That's what God is trying to do. So just change you to a point where these things become what? Natural, just part of your being. It's nothing. It's just, you know, I was telling you that day, that in the days of Samson, when they wanted to bet, they take, okay, go and bring change of raiment. I don't believe any of my children will ever understand why people bet on clothes. That means they will think the bet is not serious. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes. That's a very good illustration. If you go and tell my children now that two people wanted to bet and they say, okay, you bring five shirts if you lose the bet, they will think it's a joke, that the bet is not a serious bet. You are getting what I'm saying? Because, five shirts. No problem. No, let's bet. That's the kind of bet they will use to do, okay, close your eyes. Where did I put the coin? Is it this one or this? You know, that's the kind of thing they will think. That maybe it's a joke. They won't know it was a matter of life and death. So that you are using cloth to bet. You get what I'm saying? Because there has been what? A transformation into a realm of abundance that some things don't have value anymore. You are getting what I'm saying? And that's what God is doing. His word is entering. He speaks. He said, they shall not be barren or cast their young. He said, but the other day, this person. No. God is not saying, please explain to me. He said, hear it and say amen. Hear it and continue hearing it. Hear it and continue hearing it. He said, the number of your days he will fulfill. He said, but I remember this brother, and this is what happened to him. And then he died. God didn't say, explain to me what happened before. I have brought these words to tell you where I'm taking you to. And as you are being soaked by it, the cloud of glory is building in your heart. Are you getting my point? And as you utter from that cloud, you are dropping rain upon the earth. A time comes where these things come to you naturally. Let me tell you something. God told the children of Israel, you will be so blessed, you have to be careful to remember. I don't know what I heard that. That is, what he said to them is that they will be so blessed, they have God instituted ceremonies
to remind them of where their fathers came from. Because if those guys had followed God the way he said they should follow him, do you get my point? They would not have understood what they called poverty.